remind you that we're at the end of a fall all church emphasis that we've been calling Jumping into the Good Book. And we've been focusing in this season on the good book, the Bible, and focusing on how that this book is a book about God and about God's relationship with human beings. But I also want to remind you that one of the reasons, well, the main reason why we did this is that earlier this year in the summer, we conducted a survey, an all church survey, and we asked, one of the questions we asked was, what is something that you would like to know more about when it comes to being a Christian? And the number one answer was the Bible. And so that's why we've been focusing on the Bible in these 8 weeks. But the number two response was heaven. So interestingly enough, we began this series with Genesis 1, where God creates the heavens and the earth. And now, here at the end of it, we come to the end of the good book. We come to the end of the book of the Revelation to John. And what we hear is God is talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this is not a new concept. This is not the first time this has come up, this idea of a new heaven and a new earth. If you look at the prophets, there are several times in the prophets where God promises a new heaven and a new earth. One of the places it happens is at the end of the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter, the 17th verse, when God says through Isaiah, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." And so what we have here at the end of the Revelation to John is God fulfilling that promise. And God is doing something new here. And in fact, what we know now, God is transforming into something beyond our imagination. A place filled with life and hope and peace. There will be no more crying, no mourning, no death, no terrorism, no fear, no pain, no human brokenness. For the God who created all things in the beginning is bringing them to fullness, to completion. But did you notice here in this description of the new heaven and the new earth, there's nothing about souls being raptured up to heaven. There's nothing about the good people going off to that perfect place. Instead, what we hear is that God is coming to make God's home among human beings. Hear it again, what Mark read. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. So this word that is translated in the New Revised Standard Version as dwell is the Greek word skenu. And this is a word that can be translated in a couple of different ways, but I also want to remind you, if you were here at the beginning of October when Brian preached on the beginning of the Gospel of John, the 14th verse uses that word dwell as well. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this word can be translated as dwelt, make his home among us, but also can be translated as tabernacle. The word became flesh and tabernacled among us. If you were here, Brian talked about that at the beginning of October. So what's interesting about that idea of tabernacle, then you can take that idea back and go back to Exodus, the 25th chapter, when God is up on Mount Sinai with Moses and telling Moses about what the people of Israel are supposed to do and gives very specific instructions about what the people of Israel are supposed to build so that God can come and dwell in the midst of them. Can tabernacle among them. And it was the place that housed the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. And it was right there in the middle of the whole camp of the Israelites, right there in the middle of their neighborhood. But you might recall that from that moment on, for 40 years, they wandered around. So it couldn't be a permanent structure. It was an actual tent. This tabernacle was a tent. And so this idea of tabernacling among us is the idea of pitching a tent, of moving into the neighborhood to be among the people. God is choosing, is promising that God is going to come in the midst of our neighborhood, in the midst of our frailty and our mortality to be with us. So on this All Saints Sunday, and on every All Saints Sunday for the last 10 years, one of the saints I remember is my friend Kathleen Baskin Ball. Many of you have heard me talk about Kathleen. She died 10 years ago in December of cancer, far too young. She was just 50. But in those 50 years, she lived a life that, man, did she have an impact on this world. And one of the places where she had significant impact was in West Dallas. In about 1989, Kathleen would have been, I think, 31 at the time. She said yes to being sent by the North Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church to go to West Dallas, to the barrio, to start a United Methodist Spanish-speaking church. Now, Kathleen was a white girl from the suburbs, from North Carrollton. She's cute, darling, had this cute little dog, about as suburban as you could get. But she felt called to this, and she said yes to it, and she was committed to it. She went to Mexico that summer, and she immersed herself in a Spanish-speaking school and learned to speak Spanish, and then she came back, and in September, she was ready to start this. But everybody who was her supervisor and everybody who cared about Kathleen said, do not move into that neighborhood. It is too dangerous for a blonde white girl from the northern suburbs. So Kathleen listened to them, and she rented a house in Oak Cliff, which is not that far from West Dallas, in a pretty nice area of Oak Cliff, maybe 10 minutes from where she was going to start this church next door to the Wesley Rankin Community Center. And the next year, she drove in, but it soon became clear to her that she would never begin to really reach the people in that community unless she was willing to move into the neighborhood. And so against everyone's advice, she took her cute little dog and her cute car and her cute little self, and she rented one of those houses in West Dallas that were all over the press about a year ago. Fallen down, ramshackle, cockroaches everywhere, rats, it smelled. There were gunshots every night. It was a terrifying place to visit, much less live. But Kathleen knew, she knew that God is already here among us, and she knew that God could be found even in the barrio of West Dallas. That's what saints do. Saints recognize and point to the presence of God among us in the here and now. It's what Hilda Miller did in her almost 98 years. If you know Hilda, you know that she was raised in the church in rural Oklahoma. They went every Sunday unless the roads were impassable. She gave her life to Christ when she was 12, and that was the beginning of a lifelong journey with Christ that took her to be a missionary, that took her to fall in love with a preacher and become a preacher's spouse, took her to Iowa and then back to Oklahoma. And we were blessed to have Hilda among us. I don't know, can somebody tell me maybe 15 years that she was part of this community after she moved here to be closer to family? My experience of Hilda was, oh my goodness, she saw the presence of God in all places, and she was so faithful. She was such a prayer warrior. I personally know that she prayed for her pastors because she knew what the life of a pastor was like. She prayed for her pastors. She prayed for you. She prayed for this church. She prayed for this world. She was a prayer warrior. And Hilda was one of those people who loved the Bible. She taught Sunday school. She taught the Bible while she was here. She was in three different Bible studies. Anytime she had an opportunity to dig into Scripture, Hilda was there. But my strongest memory of Hilda will be of her coming to the table. She loved to gather for a meal with church folk because she knew that that was an opportunity for us to encounter the presence of God in each other. But she so loved coming to communion. Here, this is my strong memory of Hilda right here, kneeling, even when it was hard for her to kneel. Always kneeling with her hands open and lifted up, her face raised with a smile beaming, knowing that she was in the presence of God. Saints are those who know and point to the presence of God among us in the here and now. And what I want to say to you is there are saints in this room right now because you all do this all the time. You do it all the time. And you do it as you are teaching some of our newest saints. And I want to celebrate some of our newest saints. Our confirmation class. Rory Liu and Gracie King and Lucia Gennardi and Amber Ridgely. And our very newest of new saints, those who've been baptized in this past year. Scarlett Cleveland. Oh, wait. There's Scarlett. You can go back to that one before. Who was that before? There's Dalton Cleveland. And then their cousin, Liam Hudson. And then there's Ella Jean Baker. Go to the next one. And Dennis Schroeder. And Sydney Orpeza. The newest saints among us. Who are being taught and led to recognize the presence of God in the here and now. That's what saints do. Now, I know that in these dark times, when we are overwhelmed by bad news and violence, sometimes it's hard to believe that there's a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth. Sometimes it's hard to believe that the presence of God is among us. But these words from the Revelation to John invite us to look beyond the obvious violence, the obvious darkness, and to see, indeed, God is with us in the here and now. And God is calling each one of us to collaborate with God to make space, to make opportunities for God's peace, God's hope, God's welcome, God's healing to be experienced. So on Wednesday, I was at Starbucks working on my sermon, and an email came across from the North Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church. This is our organizing body, and it was a letter from our bishop, Bishop Mike McKee. And he was in this letter addressing the tragedy at the Tree of Life Synagogue on Saturday. And he talked in the letter about how on Sunday he was part of an interfaith gathering at Temple Sharif Israel in North Dallas and talked about how beautiful the service was and the prayers were beautiful and the singing was beautiful and that he was glad to have been there. But then he said this, "It is now time to offer more than our words and prayers. Listening to people of other faith traditions or races, there are legitimate concerns regarding hate speech and other evil acts. It's time for faithful people to listen, speak, and act in the Spirit of Christ." And then he went on to teach something that I did not know. It's a Jewish concept that's known as Tikkun Olam. In Hebrew, it literally means world repair. And it's an activity that improves and restores the world. So then he went on in the letter to offer a challenge. Would each of us commit to an act of Tikkun Olam? Teach all that a joke or word of derision about race or other religions is not living into a Christ-like life. Teach our children and students that racism has no place in the life of a follower of Jesus. So also on Wednesday, while I was working on this sermon, My friend Aram Ali posted an event on Facebook. Aram is my friend, first of all, because we're both band moms, but also because Aram is a leader in the Muslim community in the Louisville Flower Mound area. And the event that she posted was a vigil at Congregation Kol Ami in Flower Mound on Friday night. Now, some of you have been with us to Congregation Kol Ami because Kol Ami is the place that we take our confirmation classes when we want them to learn about their Jewish roots. And so we go on a Friday night to a Sabbath service, and we experience that Sabbath service with the community. And Rabbi Jeffrey Dennis always takes time to teach a little bit about what it means to be a Jew in the here and now and answer their questions. And we love going there because it's kind of our community. They're in Flower Mound, and it's a small synagogue, so we get a lot of attention there, and they know that we're there, and they're glad that we're there, and they always invite us to stay afterwards for food. So Congregation Kol Ami was the site for this event on Friday night, and it was called a vigil. A vigil to stand outside their synagogue on Friday night as they gathered together for prayer, for worship, and to welcome the Sabbath. And so my family and I, along with our friend Billy, decided that we were going to go Friday night. It was dark when we got there, so I'm not sure how many people were there. I saw one post on Facebook that right at 7 o'clock, somebody counted 250 people, but people kept coming. And I think by the time the event was over, there might have been 400 or 500 people there. On the sidewalk, there on Timber Creek Drive, between their synagogue and Timber Creek Elementary across the street, just standing as the members of Kol Ami drove into the parking lot to go into worship for the first time. Now, it was my intention that we would just go and be there, because I really didn't want to impose my stuff on them. I didn't want to impose my presence on their first gathering to worship after what happened last Saturday. But let me tell you, they would have none of that. Congregation Kol Ami calls themselves the friendliest synagogue in Denton County. They really feel a lot like this place. And so earlier in the day on Facebook, Rabbi Jeffrey posted and said, please come in and join us for worship. And then he came out, invited everybody to come into worship. And we sort of stood around out there and we said, should we, shouldn't we, should we, shouldn't we? And so then we decided to go in. And if you've been there, you know it's not a huge place. But they brought extra chairs in, and they opened up their overflow space and put more chairs in. And by the time the event was over, people were standing all over the place. And let me tell you, friends, it was holy ground. Holy ground. We all prayed together. Even those of us who don't know Hebrew, we made our effort to pray the Hebrew words. But we also prayed in English together, and some of it was very familiar because some of it's pulled right from the Psalms, and we sang, and some of it was familiar for those of us who've been there year after year with the confirmation class. There was that Bim Bom song. Some of y'all know that song. We sang that song, and we offered up prayers for those who were sick, and where we were sitting, we named names of our people who are sick. And we offered up prayers for those who have died, for those in Pittsburgh, but also like we are praying today, we offered up prayers for those who have died in the past year. And we offered up prayers for our present, for our future, for peace, for an end to violence. It was holy ground. It was Tikkun Olam, world repair. That's what saints do, my friends. Saints point to the presence of God in our midst in the here and now. Saints collaborate with God for world repair. It's what you do. I see it time and time again. And so on this All Saints Sunday, I give thanks for you, the saints of Vista Ridge United Methodist Church. May we continue to collaborate with God for world repair. Glory to God.